Welcome to Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. A Buddha is someone who's awake within the matrix and co-creating with divinity as a soul having a human experience. Each enlightened episode is dedicated to help you level up the energy field of your Merkaba. You can manifest the parallel reality that fits the best version of you. This podcast is for entertainment purposes and does not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Now, let's welcome your host, author Vaughn Galt, and her guest.
Welcome to another episode of Merkaba Chakras podcast. If you're a fan of the healing qualities in music and love semantics research as much as I do, then you'll enjoy this episode because today I'm blessed to pick the brain of music educator Gerald Savage. Now, Gerald teaches at the Global Institute of Sound and Consciousness in Applied Music Theory for Healing. He was a department chair of the vocal department at Pittsburgh Kappa, two-time Fulbright Hayes Scholar recipient in Brazil, and participated in Bridging Cultures, an educational collaborative through the State Department, in conjunction with the African Studies Program at the University of Illinois. So Gerald, welcome to Merkaba Chakras.
Wonderful, thank you very much. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to share. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for gracing us with your presence. Everybody who knows me, I love this stuff. So, and there's so many different ways in which we can create reality and make it even more enjoyable. So I'd love to hear all the different perspectives. Now, beyond my love for semantics research and the evolve and how it's evolving into the music therapy area and it's working its way into medicine through sound and light healing, which is, you know, really kind of getting a little Star Trek, the early buddings of Star Trek technology, which I love. So before we get into all that fabulous content from your research, can you please tell us your story for how you got into this work in the first place?
Well, that's a story that is founded in my life choice to be where I was born and the parents that I was born into and the culture that I was born into. Both my mom and dad are from deep South Louisiana, and coming out of that kind of experience was a very strong background in music. And music from the standpoint of functionality, meaning that music served a purpose in life. You know, praise music, worship music was something that was done spontaneously. It was something that was done deeply. It was something that was done without instruments, just voices and the soul that people brought to that experience. So that was the foundation. And of course, as I got older, then of course I was brought up in the church. And actually, I grew up in Michigan. And of course, you have a lot of people in Michigan who are from the South. So I was raised in a Baptist church environment, which one of the richest experiences in that tradition is music for worship and service. So that was really the fundamental foundation that I grew up in. And then eventually I started to become more interested in taking piano lessons and then taking trombone in school, and I played in the band, and then singing, and these kind of things. And then eventually, as I grew older, and I went off to study music at Indiana University, Bloomington, Indiana. And one of the reasons that I chose to go there was because there was such a broad experience of music there. There were five orchestras, there were three wind ensembles, there were choirs, there were opera productions, there was composition, there was jazz. It was all of that, which is what I was able to get from that experience, a little bit of everything. However, one of the things also with Indiana is it has a very noted ethnomusicology program. Now, ethnomusicology is the type of program that studies music and culture and the cultural, events that come out of the music of a particular culture. So that's when I first became interested in looking at other cultures and how music was used. And music, once again, very similar to my background, was very much functional in life. You know, you had music that was for praise and worship, music for healing, music for calming, music for births, music for funerals, so on and so forth. Music for bringing about the spirits, invoking certain spirits in the dynamics of the society. So that was a big part of my first interest in music from a healing standpoint. Eventually, I got into studying yoga. Actually, before actually getting into yoga, I was very ill for a couple of years. I was borderline diabetic, and then I started looking at what can I do to make my life richer? What can I do to help bring about some healing? So I got into understanding natural health and healing, and this was even a part of my life that I really had been kind of gradually getting into over time, and eventually reached the point where I made a decision to be on a plant-based diet, even before it was called vegan or whatever. And through that experience, one thing led to another. Eventually, I ended up studying yoga. Through the yogic experience, then I started to learn mantras and things of that nature. And then from learning mantras, I began to understand and see that there were other aspects of healing that music was very much an integral part of. After a while, I was telling you earlier prior to the broadcast that I was working on my PhD at the University of Pittsburgh, which is where I live right now. And one of the things that was very challenging to me was finding a PhD topic that resonated with who I was. Now, of course, me being a musician at that time, I got my master's degree in ethnomusicology and eventually decided, maybe I should pursue a PhD. However, I really wasn't centered on how I wanted to do that. And I started delving more and more into researching how sound historically, geographically, and music had been incorporated in healing processes. And that's when I started to dig deeper into that. So I combined all of those elements of music, of education, of ethnomusicology, of yoga, all of these things brought me to this path. Eventually, I decided that I looked into Globe Institute of Sound and Consciousness, where I actually teach now, and found out they had a certificate program. And as a part of that certificate program, they were studying all kinds of aspects. I mean, it was really right up my alley. Everything that kind of tied all of what I have been searching for, it tied it all together. And after obtaining the certificate from Globe Institute, I brought, I believe, such a unique perspective in terms of music theory to the class that I was in that David Gibson, who actually runs Globe Institute, asked me if I would like to teach a class. Well, yeah, I would love to do that. And this has taken me to another level because it's brought all of that experience from all of those different streams that I spoke about. And also, I keep learning, and that's another part of the educational component, is because through this work, you have to remain humble to understand that you're always scratching the surface. When you're talking about a universe of vibration and frequency and movement and so on and so forth, it's like, how in the world can you ever know it all? And so this is something that as I continue to grow in this practice and field, I find out once again, I mean, how little I really know. But at the same time, I know what I know. So that's kind of giving me, that gives you the background of all of these different experiences that brought me to this work that I do now.
Yeah, and it's very fascinating work. When I went through the website and some of the stuff, I was like, okay, yeah, we're going to go back. We're going to go back eventually. This is the way I see it, because there's a lot of areas of semantics and harmonics research in Buddhism that mm-hmm. have huge gaps of historical records loss, huge gaps. And so you get chunks of information that we understand. Like, we know people are frequencies and they are their energy field, their mandalas. We know that their energy fields get affected by different aspects of energy in what they feed themselves, etc. So we know certain things, but there are huge gaps that are missing. Like, we know point A, we know point C, we don't know how to get to A to C. We don't know how to get to C to, you know, H. So and we always are keeping ourselves open to other traditions and other researchers in the metaphysics field, because maybe they will fill in some of those gaps so that we can finally see the full picture of how to get from one to another. And use that and apply it in our lives so that we can manifest and have the most smooth experience with all of the tools that we have available to us, which we are barely even tapping into those six senses. And semantics and frequency is really kind of bridging us into yes. that. Yes. So for the people who are not familiar with what semantics is the study of sound and vibration, which discovered that matter changes depending on the frequency it radiates at. So yeah. Like, if you look at sand plates and you put in a frequency or harmonics to it, you chant to it, same with singing bowls, it will pop up kind of like the image of a mandala or a unique energy signatures to that. But yeah. That's semantics. Now, with that, can you please explain to everyone how you use music and frequencies to change matter in somebody's body that may be experiencing some kind of unease, like with cancer or any kind of illness that they're working with?
Yes, I will definitely do that. Let me build up on a couple of things you said. First of all, when we look at life is nothing but constant movement. At the end of the day, that's what life is. It's about motion. It's about energy. It's about movement. It's about frequency. It's about all of these things that are manifested in different ways. So we have movement through my voice, for instance. I'm moving air through my voice as I speak. I'm breathing to be able to produce that air to bring up. I'm using my hands in a certain way. I'm using my eyes in a certain way. All of these frequencies are coming through all the time. When I breathe, in fact, because we talk about the exchange of, you know, the bad air and the good air when we breathe, but rarely do people see the movement of the breath as a sound event. You know, when we breathe, we're creating sound throughout our whole system. So cymatics, at the end of the day, is music and sound made visible, is what it is. So that we hear, but it allows us to see the events that go on. You know, it's just like with the I think the name of the book is Hidden Messages in Water by Emoto, mm-hmm. Where he took photographs of crystals as a result of speaking or certain words that were written on pieces of paper, whatever the case may be, but it was through, once again, the movement of sound. Now, here's the thing, another thing about the movement of sound that people typically don't think about, and that is the fact that our thoughts are an aspect of the movement of sound. We can speak with our mouths closed, and we can hold and most of us do hold conversations, probably more than what we should, but you can speak, you can sing and not use these vocal cords. So there's an inner voice, there's an inner music that's going on. There's frequencies and vibrations that are happening on a higher realm that are beyond this physical realm. So all of these things tied together means that there's always some kind of movement, there's always some kind of frequency, and then the challenge that we are confronted with is imbalance. Now, imbalance is something that occurs at different times in different ways with the same person even. And so what then the challenge is what is the resonance the resonant frequency of something. Otherwise, how does something resonate in its most natural form? And whether that be our emotions when we're at peace, which once again is a resonance, it's a type of movement, or we are angry or we're sad or we're traumatized, whatever the case may be, there's still movement, but the movement that I spoke about all of a sudden is not imbalanced. So what we have to do is figure out what it is that's happening that's not in balance and bring it into balance. So in sound healing, you have what's called resonance and entrainment. Resonance is, once again, that frequency at which something operates naturally. And then entrainment is taking something that is out of balance and bringing it back into resonance by various means. Now, since everything is movement, music and sound is just one form of the movement. We have colors that have movement. You know, you look at a certain color and it vibrates at a certain frequency. We have certain essential oils that vibrate at, because smell, once again, is another type of a frequency that takes place. We have foods that are pure, foods that are impure. You know, for instance, you have in the Hindu tradition, the aspect of sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. So sattvic is something that's pure, rajasic is in movement and change, and then we have tamasic, which it's at its lowest in terms of the life force. Now, of course, life force doesn't mean that life dissipates, because life never dissipates, it just recreates. You know, that energy that's used is going to form itself and attach itself in a different realm. So that is the fundamentals of the philosophical fundamentals of how I approach work. There's a couple of other things, and that is that healing has different, it doesn't have one way of looking. You know, people, I remember, for instance, when I first got into sound and music healing, you know, it was the gongs and, you know, the crystal bowls, and people would chant Om. And then that was, you know, that was healing, you know, that was calming. And I remember my mom, God bless her, my mother was raised in the Southern Church, as I indicated earlier. And then, so my mother would hear this calming music, and she would say, "Oh my God, that sounds like funeral music." So you see that what's healing to one person is not healing to another person. Mm-hmm. And this is what I think we, you know, as we kind of try to codify what healing is in this society, whether it's with gongs and crystal bowls and tuning forks and chanting and so on and so forth, it may or may not apply to everybody. Mm-hmm. And this is why, and this is the fortunate thing about my work, is because I've had such a wide experience as an educator, as a performing artist, as a person who's into natural health and healing, as a person who is into music for healing purposes. It is wide. And therefore, it has allowed me to be very open to realizing that one shoe does not fit all. It really doesn't. So the program that I work with is a program that's called Voice Bio. And Voice Bio takes the frequencies of your voice, distributes them in such a way that certain pitches on the piano, I'm just going to reach over and play the piano for a second. So we have what's called a chromatic scale. And each one of those corresponds to a different energy center. Mm-hmm. When you're doing the voice print, is what I'm saying.
Right.
It also has a color correspondence. It mm-hmm. also has music that can be played or sung, or frequencies that can be toned, or it can be certain pieces of music that you listen to. All of these things. Or you can just listen to a pure generated, a tone generator with certain frequencies and get the same effect.
Right.
So, but the beautiful thing about the Voice Bio program and doing the assessment piece, and this is what's very, very important, because if you just simply have an anecdotal interview with someone and you say, okay, so what would you like to work on today? Oh, well, you know, I've been feeling very stressed, you know, okay, no, and I've been kind of depressed. I just need an uplift, you know, whatever it may be.
Right.
And then, you know, the person will say, okay, well, let's try this. Now, here's the other element of healing, is that the tools are not the most important thing. Not all tools are going to be used successfully with everybody. Mm-hmm. Here's a quick story. A friend of mine went to a gong bath, found it to be very stressful, had a lot of anxiety, and was almost feeling guilty because she felt as though, wow, why wasn't I getting this? And I said, that's because that wasn't for you. So this is where the assessment piece is so important. Now, assessment in terms of the software program I use is one thing. However, it's also important to look at different aspects of the individual in terms of their history, whatever traumas people might have experienced. That's very, very important. Because sometimes what you do can be harmful to a person, you know, as opposed to helping that person to bring about balance. So I'm giving all of this background to understand philosophically where I'm coming from, and also to understand how to be careful about the tools and not simply randomly use what you're used to. And that's what I mean by the tools are not the most important thing, because if a person has crystal balls and that's what they're used to, and then, you know, the ego says, oh, wow, well, crystal balls are it. You know, this is the thing that anybody can do. You know, I just do crystal balls, or I do tuning forks. Oh, everybody, this is what I do. You know, so one has to step outside of what one is used to, what one likes to do, what one is comfortable doing, and do what is best for the person that you're working with. And that's where the assessment tool is so important.
Right, right. So let me ask you a question. Let's say you have a client that comes to you and says, I'm going through chemotherapy for cancer right now. What is the process for assessing them? And then what, can you give us an example of what music you created for that person to help in their healing through chemo and a quick recovery?
Okay, so first of all, I always say, and I have it on my website, I'm not a physician.
Right, right. So,
you know,
this is exploratory.
I'm going to heal cancer or anything like that. However, what the voice print will show very clearly is it will show whatever imbalances there are without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm talking unbelievably accurate. I will share, for instance, a person that I did an assessment on who had cancer of the kidneys, was actually recuperating from cancer of the kidneys. And when I saw this person's voice print, the first thing I said, what's going on with your kidneys? And she looked at me and said, how in the world did you know that? Mm-hmm. Because it was very clear on the voice print that there was a lot of aggravation, inflammation in her kidney areas.
Right. And we don't have a screenshot of what an example of a voice print will look like. I'm not sure if you have one on hand, but can you describe what they typically look like when you get an assessment done?
You know, let me look here. Just one second. I'm gonna
take a notebook. Okay, so you found what one of these look like?
Okay, so this gives you examples of two different voice prints. And you will notice that each one of the voice prints has a different color bar for each one of the pitches. I don't know if I said hold it up very closely, if you can see the letters of the what we call the chromatic scale, C, C sharp, D, D sharp, and so on and so forth. And you will notice that on each one of these, you have high bars, you have low bars, and in some voice prints, you will find that there's hardly any energy coming through at all.
Right. I see the C dash or C pound symbol.
Yeah, that's C sharp.
Or C sharp. Okay.
Yeah, so, and this is, by the way, another thing I want to say is it helps to know a little bit about music and working with this program, because you have to understand, for instance, if you're choosing classical music or something like that, you need to know that C sharp is the same as D flat. You need to know G sharp is the same as A flat. D These are things, so when you're selecting music or you're selecting frequencies, you need to know that.
Is this something that you would tell, like I'm assuming that most of your clients that come to you are not very fluent in music. This is something that you kind of tell them what their prescription, their yes, sound prescription is.
Yeah, so basically each one of these represents a different pattern. So if a tone is very low, I think you can pretty much figure out that means a lot of very little energy is coming out of that particular frequency. Okay, so if it's corresponding to the kidneys, you would see that for the kidneys, usually they're pretty equal. In some cases, one, depending on if some people have a kidney missing or might have an infection in one kidney but not the other. So then you would know that would be a frequency that needs to be built up. However, you have to look at the entire voice print to understand that you can't work with everything at once. It's impossible to address everything. However, what you can do is I typically go for the two lowest frequencies. And those are the ones that we begin to build up with. Now, those frequencies also, in addition, that they correspond, in addition to organ or organ systems or certain parts of the body, also there's an emotion that goes along with it. That usually, so if a person is too hard on themselves, very impatient, critical of others, wants to get back at others before themselves, before they get them, these are all the kind of corresponding emotions that go along with each one of these frequencies.
And the emotions are in that diagram that you showed us, or this is just something that you learned that
this is that you learned this as a part of the system.
Okay. So if somebody's voice print, mm-hmm. When they do the voice print test with you, comes out and shows this chart where they're low on some aspects mm-hmm. of the sound mm-hmm. That is related to this characteristic in the way they're behaving in life. Okay.
That's
and
exactly.
So is that characteristic that they are behaving in life one of the causes that is affecting that organ in their body? So I'm going to give you an example. Oh, it is. Okay, so let me give you an example just for people who may be lost in this conversation. So when they do a print, let's say their kidneys is low in energy, mm-hmm. according to the voice signature, mm-hmm. and they may have control issues, and so they may be domineering to others, and so it causes a cycle of negativity and stress, and
yes.
so their body is saying that you're causing me stress in this organ because of how you are this way.
Yes, that's
what you're getting it.
But here's the really, really interesting thing. A lot of the emotions are the result of trying to fill in that frequency.
Oh, really? Explain that further. Give me an example, because this is what people want to know.
So emotions, as you know, have frequencies.
Yes.
You know, just like I said, everything in life is movement. And movement, I like to use the word movement in the same way that people use frequency. Because
right.
movement, frequency is nothing but movement. That's all
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, frequency is movement. Movement is frequency. It's just
constant movement.
It's moving energy.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what. And so our emotions are a part of that too.
Yeah.
And so what we are doing is attempting to move that energy through that organ. That's what we're trying to do. And this is a part of what we're doing because it's low energy coming through there. And
right.
these are the tendencies that people will find. And the opposite of that is that sometimes there's too much energy. And so you saw those high bars.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing, you know, to have those.
What kind of emotions is too much energy?
Well, here's the thing. If there's too much of something in a particular frequency in a certain area, that actually is usually an indication of some type of aggravation, some inflammation, some infection, anything like that. So this system, remember I told you about the two lowest frequencies, sometimes, believe it or not, there are people who have multiple frequencies that are not even on the chart. I've seen people where literally half of the frequencies weren't there.
Right. And what does that indicate? What does that indicate?
That indicates that that person has a lot of work to do.
Okay. Okay.
And I actually had, and I, you know, if I could, I don't know where it is. I wish if I could share my screen and I had put all these things together, I would show you. But I had a situation where, oh, actually this can be found on, there's a video on my website.
Okay, let me go look for it. Hold on.
Yeah, SoundPill.
With that video, people can find it off of the website, soundpill.net. So
they'll find that and they'll find an explanation of all this that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yes. So anyway, the thing is that I had a situation where a person had a trauma experience right before they came to me. Mm-hmm. It was amazing because there was hardly anything on the chart. I mean, there
okay.
were only two things that the bars that were on the chart were primarily the sympathetic nervous system. I'm sorry, the parasympathetic nervous system.
Right.
They were really stressed out. They were stressed out.
Right. So somebody who comes in and they have absolutely no energy showing up on the chart, what happened to their energy?
I think that they just closed down.
Did their soul like jump out of their body and just check out or something?
You think about fight or flight, you know, the sympathetic versus the parasympathetic nervous system. And so the fight or flight is a person freezes up. They choke up. You just look at my body language. That's what happens is everything shuts down. And of course, when it's shutting down, we're talking about from the higher levels of our being. Because as human beings, we are not, obviously, we're not these physical bodies that we make such a big deal about.
Right.
But it's a part of who we are, and it connects to a higher. And if, in fact, we have in the emotional body blockage there, then it doesn't flow through us. So that's what's happening. It's not flowing through us.
Right. In essence, and I know this, and I'm sure you know this, and many people who are familiar with this work know this, that we are all, in essence, energy, and energy has a lot of different colors. That's what, like the chakras have a lot of different colors, and the different colors have different frequencies.
Yes.
As well. And actually, I put this in my book, Buddhist Mandalas, as well, but basically we, just like you have in your work, all sound is basically a three-dimensional bubble.
Right.
So we are all a three-dimensional bubble, and as you go through the layers, you go through the layers of the colors of the chakra, and each layer has its own frequency, and so it's this nice harmonic vibration of energy flowing in this nice bubble, and that's what we really are. But lifetime after lifetime, or experience after experience, you know, we may change our persona, we may change our storyline, etc., for whatever intensive purposes we are doing for this experience. But overall, what we are is our energy.
Yes.
Energy signature. Now, that energy signature is going to go out of sync. Mm-hmm. It's going to ebb and flow. It's going to increase and decrease depending on how you live your life, what you feed yourself, what kind of situations, et cetera, that you put into. Like, remember, everything's a holographic. It's holographic.
Yes,
so
that's right.
So if you see everything as energy, then you're feeding yourself different frequencies.
Yes.
But the thing that I found interesting in what you just said is, like, with the client who, when you mapped out her the energy in her voice, she didn't have very much energy showing up in the chart. And if you are familiar with studying plants, when they look at light in plants, the plants that have very little light, they're dying.
Yes, that's right.
So if somebody is not, it's walking around without much light in their DNA voice.
Yes.
Is she like slowly dying, or is she like a walking zombie? You know, I mean, not like a real zombie, but you know what I mean? Like the proverbial sense.
Well, there's that little bit of life that's coming through to continue sustain. However, once again, the blocking off does have an effect. The rest of the story is 2 days later, when this person wasn't having a trauma experience, the energy was flowing. It's amazing. So this is what I said earlier. This is what I meant when I said earlier, even within one individual, the same individual, the needs that we have as individual is constantly changing. It's always changing. So what we need as healing now is not necessarily what we'll need tomorrow for healing, because we are these very dynamic, energetic beings that is constantly, once again, the movement of who we are, what we think, what we're going through, what we're experiencing is shifting. And so this is where it's so important for us to have all of these various practices that we can maintain balance.
Right, right. So, I mean, like you said earlier, emotion is frequency. Frequency is emotion. Different. And there's different ranges for different emotions. And typically the lower states of emotion are like the negative emotions,
yes,
anger, rage, whatever. And that typically dissipates and takes away life.
Yes.
Energy. And the higher states of consciousness, the higher frequencies of love, acceptance, mm-hmm, you know, hope, mm-hmm, those type of energies are life-giving, and they, yep, you know, continue to multiply and just kind of, just kind of like addition. You can add all you want, and you can, it's unlimited, but you, yes, can't keep subtracting, because eventually you get to a point where there's not enough to sustain life. There's not enough to keep it around. So with that, when somebody is, when their body is so much in unease from, yes, whatever caused them that illness, you're saying from your research, you can see in their voice that they have lost energy.
Yes.
Now, energy. Right. What are the things that they need to hear or see to be inspired to put energy back in? Is that just a condition of somebody losing hope?
Well, this is a part of the program. Okay, so there's a couple of things I need to mention. And this also helps if a person has a little bit of music background as a practitioner, not necessarily as a person who's going to come to me as a client, but as a practitioner, this is what I need to know. So there are, once again, as I mentioned, there will be some people who have multiple frequencies that are either very low or not distinguishable on the voice print at all. And then they may have a couple of frequencies that are off the chart. And as I said before, this is an indication of inflammation, infection, something of this nature, some kind of blocked energy, too much energy. So what you have to be able to do is to be able to bring down the high frequencies while bringing up the lower frequencies, okay? The way this program is designed, there are corresponding low-high frequencies or pitches, not necessarily low and high, but say, for instance, C sharp corresponds with G, okay? Or C corresponds with F sharp, okay? That, I'm just giving those as examples. So I need to know, and generally speaking, what happens in this program is that G sharp, which corresponds to D, might be very high. D might be very low, but also C sharp and C might be very low. So I need to understand that D corresponds with G sharp. So by working on D, I'm not only going to bring up D, I'm going to bring down G sharp. So this is what happens in this program. Now, the two lowest frequencies are what I tackle first. Now, how do you get there? You get there by lifestyle changes, changes in diet, juicing, certain type of frequencies and music to listen to, certain essential oils, certain nutrients, certain flower essences. So all of these things are used to bring up that particular frequency. So I will give a person what's called a note card, and the note card will have all of the, it will show you first of all what you're working on, and then it will show you what are the various things that you can do to bring up that frequency. Now, what happens with people is that it can be too overwhelming to do everything. Yeah. So what I generally say to people, take a couple of things. Of course, diet and lifestyle are important. So if you need to be more hydrated, if you need to do more chlorophyll, if you need to do more juicing, those are things that, you know, get it done immediately. These other things you can combine with it. So essential oils are very, very powerful as well. You know, so you might have thyme, for instance, for the kidneys, you might have lavender for the heart, you know, whatever. But right. The point being is that there are tools that people can use and actually get results. But as you know, the most important thing is you have to do the work. Right. You have to do the work. It's not something that's going to be a magic pill. I came up with the idea of sound pill because sound and music are very therapeutic. And yes, there are frequencies and there are sounds and there are certain, I didn't even talk about timbre. I'll talk about that a little bit later. All of these things are very, very powerful. But at the end of the day, you have to live a clean, healthy life. You're not going to eat a bunch of junk and then listen to certain frequencies and think you're going to get better.
That's right, just, right. It's a holistic approach. So, yes. So, you know, just to kind of get a clear picture for the sound pill prescription, somebody has some kind of unease in their life, whether it's an illness or they're feeling tension or whatever, but they're coming in for looking at this modality as exploratory modality to see how this can help them address that or heal better, yes, or faster, whatever the outcome that they're coming into it intending.
Yes, bringing balance.
Yeah, bringing balance. And so then you test their voice, mm-hmm, to see the health of their voice.
Yes.
And when you test the voice, you have the chart that shows what tones in their voice have a lot of energy or is missing energy. And yes, then you isolate the two. You start with the low-hanging fruit, the two lowest ones that are missing energy. So let's, yes, say this person is missing C sharp, mm-hmm, in terms of energy. Mm-hmm. And so then you would recommend a couple of different things that address a lack of energy in C sharp. Yes. Like you try these essential oils, try this kind of diet, try this kind of lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they get a holistic, yeah, they get a holistic kind of like a life coaching. Here's the recommendation, yes, to get your energy back up in C sharp that will address that maybe kidney issue that, yeah, you're losing energy in. Because if you, mm-hmm, keep losing energy in that, you're, mm-hmm, going to lose your kidney, and then, mm-hmm, you're going to be without that. It's going to cause basically eventually, if you don't address these, losing, yes, energy in different areas of your body, you're going to eventually die.
Yeah, it's
going to cause harm. It's going to cause harm. Yeah, it's going to cause harm, or it's not going to be very, very, very pleasant to,
yes,
be living in such a dire state.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That I can see that. That completely makes sense. Now, you know, people can actually go and see also not only get the voice DNA, you know, mapped out in terms of the frequencies, but they, mm-hmm, can actually go and see what their mandala or what their actual voice signature looks like. And I saw you had some of those up on your website as well. Have you ever gotten your own done?
No, you know what? I put those there so that people could see. Once again, music and sound made, mm-hmm, visible through cymatics. I want people to understand this is what's happening all the time. This is what we're creating within our being. These are the results of what it is that we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're, the music that we make, whatever it is. These are our, so I have those as examples. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I wanted to say is something that's very, very important because you've used the term DNA. So the DNA of sound is something we call the overtone series. Now, what the overtone series is our voice, like me speaking now, I have a frequency in my voice, which might be A, for instance. I might be speaking at the frequency of A. But at the same time that I'm speaking that frequency, there are multiple frequencies that are sounding at the exact same time. And this is the overtone series, which is something that I encourage people to just look up and, you know, don't get deep into it, because if you look up some videos or stuff like that, it's going to be too technical and it's going to talk about music and blah, blah, blah. But what I want everyone to understand is that DNA of Sound, the Overtone series, is very, very powerful for extracting these frequencies from the voice, and also for everything from timbre. Timbre is the tone quality of a sound. So even me speaking now, I'm speaking more in the Overtone series that is more calming. My voice is more natural like this. However, if I spoke like this, you would see that I changed the timbre of my voice. Then all of a sudden, the frequencies are going to be distributed differently. So this is very, very important for understanding. Once again, going back to the singing bowls that I talked about earlier, the gongs, is that the timbre quality of some of these instruments might be aggravating to people, might be upsetting to people, and people might need something different. In turn, there may be people who, for instance, have had trouble in their childhood with, you know, the absence of a mother. And guess what? Rap music then actually becomes a way of filling in that lost mother's heartbeat.
Really?
Yes. So this
Why is that? Why rap music for somebody who has mommy issues?
Because it's the energy that's coming. Think about rap music is very, it has a lot of energy that's coming through.
Yeah, because, that's true. Yeah.
And so people sometimes are missing that energy and they need that to get them going. And that's why I have a strong, strong basic philosophy that the music and sound without borders. And right. Not to be judgmental, because it's very, very important to understand, going back to what I said earlier, everybody's going to need something different. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs a different beat. Some people don't need a beat at all. Some people need to have an experience that's very calming. They need instruments that are very calming. And the Overtone series is the thing that's going to help people to determine what are the type of sounds and instruments that are going to be calming, as opposed to what's going to break up energy, what's going to get energy charged. So these are things that once again correspond to what we're looking at, if there's an absence of energy, low energy, or excess energy. And of course, the middle ground is that there's energy that's resonating across the board, which right. is very clear.
Well, let me ask you something, okay, because I'm getting hung up on the rap music and the mom. All right, so let me ask something.
Okay.
So rap music came from Black America.
Uh-huh.
All right. Demographically speaking, if you look at any statistic, mm-hmm. much of inner city Black America, majority of time, as compared to other demographics, was raised by single moms.
That's becoming, unfortunately, common.
Is there a connection between the rap music and that? Because you were saying a little bit a while ago that rap music helps address people who are missing mother figures.
I think that it can be mother figures, and it can be depression. You know, it can be hopelessness, you know, and also rap music often gives a voice to people who feel voiceless. And if you think about what happens with rap music, oftentimes it's articulated in a way that allows one to have some sense of control and power that might be missing. And all I'm saying is that I'm using this as an example to mm-hmm. understand that people need different things. And this is what's, I believe, needed in the area of sound healing, is to understand that people have different needs.
Right.
Just simply because you have certain tools that have become like the standard kind of tools that people use, it doesn't mean that those tools, there's something wrong with those tools,
right.
but they need to be used in the right way. I'll give you an example of, I cite this example a lot. I spoke at the International Sound Healing Conference in San Francisco a few years ago. And I set up a table and a woman came and got her voice print done. Before she came to me, she went to get a crystal bowl for one of the vendors there, and it was a G crystal bowl.
Okay.
And after she did her voice print, lo and behold, her highest frequency was G. It was off the chart.
So she's out of balance?
Well, there's G was the last thing that she needed.
Oh, okay.
But that was the thing that she was most familiar with, you see? So
that, oh, yeah.
She was familiar, so that's what she got. And then when I showed and went over her voice print with her, I said, well, look, you know, this G is the last thing you need because this is off the charts. And if you go home and tone this G, you're just making aggravation. You're aggravating something that's already in not in a good place. And so in her case, it happened to be D, was D as in dog, her lowest frequency. And I said, you know what? You should go and exchange that G
for a D. Now, yeah. what was the missing energy in the D frequency for her? What was that connected to? What emotion or
well, that was connected that to? Was definitely that was D is the left kidney.
Oh,
which okay. By the way, here's the thing about the chakras that this system showed me, which initially blew me away, and it's really hard for some people to grasp this. Is that there are frequencies that are distributed throughout the body in different places. So a D might not necessarily just be in the kidney area, it may be in the shoulder area also, the course. Yeah. So as opposed to the clean thing that we're used to with the chakra system, the Vedic usually, I guess, you know, it comes out of the Vedic tradition, is, you know, C is the root chakra and D is, you know,
right.
You know, and then you have E in the solar plexus area and F or F sharp in the heart, blah, blah, blah. However, with this system, that's not the way it works. It doesn't work. It can correspond to some of those areas, but it's distributed in different areas. That one frequency might not just be in one area. So
right.
I think about there's a frequency that corresponds to the lungs and the knees and the reproductive areas, and it's all the same frequency.
Right, you know, right. You know, if you, I'm imagining like, because we are all like one energy bubble, and
yes.
There's energy flowing inside of the bubble in kind of like the yin yang way.
Yeah, so it's flowing everywhere.
It's flowing everywhere. And when you think of frequency, like each of the chakras are different layers of the energy flowing inside our energy bubble, our aura field, they could be different frequencies. And if you think about it in those terms, let's say you put a body on that frequency, the kidney might be in this spot, the heart might be in this spot. I'm just picking random organs.
Yes, I understand.
Scenario. But you know, you have certain different organs in the body. But if you think of the body as a field of energy, that yeah. energy with that frequency, like let's say D, for example,
yes.
That energy is flowing through and hitting
yes.
those parts of the organs in your body.
It's that's
hitting
exactly
the right.
Right.
It's hitting the right spots.
Bingo.
And that is the visual portrayal of what you just said, that
yes,
the frequency
definitely.
Hits different organs. And it's not this like linear thing that we have simplified in the Vedas or the chakra system that we know of.
You know what? The chakra system, I'm so happy that you mentioned that, because the chakra system is just like the seasons. Seasons don't just stop at fall and go into winter.
Right.
They don't do that. Astrological signs just don't go from one sign and hop right into the next one. You have people who are on the cusp, and it's a gradual change and influence depending on how close you are to either one of those astrological signs. The same thing with music, that even though you have an A that moves to an A sharp or B flat, and they're close next to each other on the keyboard, there are bunches of frequencies in between those two notes. So it's not like it just jumps from one thing to another like that. It is a gradual process, and therefore it's going to have an influence across the board and not
right.
just one place. And one other thing that I want to say about that is that, you know, you have A440, for instance, our keyboard that we use, the piano keyboard that we use in this society, is contrived.
Right.
It's not based on the overtone series. Remember I talked about the overtone series mm-hmm. is the DNA of sound.
Mm-hmm.
That's every structure. So for instance, the way that the overtone series looks is you have this pitch and then you have this pitch. And then as you get higher above, and by the way, you have a fundamental sound and then you have all of these pitches stacked on top of it, which you really can't hear.
Right.
But each one of those is a part of that system. The keyboard that we use, the piano keyboard, does not adhere to that system. So our keyboards are not according to the way the healing sounds are structured. So
let me ask you a question. Is there anything in this research where they're going to, if they haven't already, map out the different organs in our body and which frequency it is?
Well, this is a big part of what this program
okay
does.
So you guys are working on that. So yeah, eventually, yeah, hopefully we'll get a chart that kind of has the DNA diagram of frequencies, yes, in our whole body. And if, let's say, somebody is having, I don't know, heart palpitations, it will say heart is, I'm going to pick, what is it, C?
A sharp is actually
A sharp. Okay, heart. So if you have heart issues, you need to, these are the things that will address A sharp. Okay, yeah, these are the lists.
Just like what you just said a moment ago about the bubble.
Mm-hmm. All right, Edgefield.
The A sharp, the heart, is not isolated. You know, it's a part of a system, and what is in that system is affecting that heart, you see?
Right.
So, and that's where this program, in terms of an assessment tool, will get you to what you need to work on, which will have an effect on the heart, you see?
Right. I see, I really, Jared, I see a lot of applications when it comes to sound and music, mm-hmm, as part of medicine. Because yes, because there's a lot of new diseases that are affecting people that we have no clue how it happened,
yes,
how we can address it, no clue, but they know exactly where in the body it is, yeah, affecting them, so that, yeah, we can get, yeah, the basics there. And mm-hmm, there's a lot of like mental health and other kind of psychological issues that have like no black and white, easy depictable things, mm-hmm, that they can see in an x-ray, or that they can physically see appearing as an issue on their body. So there's a lot of areas in medicine that affect the body that modern medicine, no matter how advanced our technology is in, mm-hmm, locating which organ, which part of the body, mm-hmm, has issues, still really can't address how it came about or how to fix it. Is the research done with the collaboration of frequencies and medicine going to get to a point where they can add this as another tool in modern medicine, where they say, okay, we don't know what the heck's going on in your body. Do, yes, a DNA voice signature. We can at least isolate what energy in your chart is missing. So even if we don't know anything that's going on with your body or how you got this, how to cure it, we can at least tell you, here, you're missing these specific aspects of your healthy voice. So here's the printout. Here's the therapy. We'll put you in a dietitian. We'll assign you a dietitian. We'll assign you a fitness trainer. We'll assign you these vitamins that you're missing. We'll assign you XXXXX.
This is
all that we could do for you because we don't know what the heck's going on with your body. Well, is that going to be where medicine's going to eventually go to?
I strongly believe that. Because, you know, what happens is you look at...
I know people like this who have no clue what the heck's going on in the body. They spend thousands, tens of thousands.
And there's so much else that goes with it, you know. Like, we're talking about emotions, which, of course, is a frequency. And then now what they're finding out is this whole new area of family-inherited trauma. So that we in our DNA are now carrying something from a few generations before us. You know, and that this is what we are bringing to this table, you know, that we don't even know.
I have another question. You're going into like the concept of reincarnation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because now sound, music, medicine research, mm-hmm, whatever the new word, this, I'm sure it's going to be some kind of like scholarly word for the whole
thing. Somebody has to package it.
Somebody has to brand it so that people can understand it. But anyways, that's for the marketeers. But in that aspect of people having family trauma from different generations in their family, or even possibly different incarnations in past lives like they had.
Yes.
In Buddhism, we say there's a huge thing in reincarnation, yes. And aspects that go into your reincarnation, yes. And aspects that go into unbalanced energy that you carry from one lifetime to another lifetime.
Yes. Yes.
And that research is just barely starting because there's a lot of taboo with spirituality and religion with that, but it keeps coming up, and is coming up in this research that as well, that regardless what happens in your lifetime, whether you address the issue or not, if it's not addressed, you carry on that trauma in your energy field.
Yes.
And so if you're so like, for instance, this goes in the concept of reincarnation, where let's say somebody was burned at the stake as a witch.
Right.
Okay. And I've had this in hypnosis clients too. And some other hypnosis practitioners as well have had this, where let's say somebody's burned at the stake. Mm-hmm. The trauma of being burned at the stake was so traumatic because it doesn't happen like a fire stick. It's a slow burn. It could take half a day to burn somebody. And
yes.
Oh, that's traumatizing. But that trauma is imprinted in the psyche of the person's energy field, in their chakras, in their energy field bubble.
Yeah.
And then that person gets reincarnated, mm-hmm. does another round at the wheel of Dharma and samsara, and they get born again.
Yes.
Into another life. Mm-hmm. They have memory of that, or it comes up in hypnosis, they have memory of that.
Yes.
But they are definitely afraid of fires or anything that kind of triggers things come up in their life that trigger an event that they don't know about.
Yes.
And then when they do like hypnosis or do different things that kind of address their energy field and address their psyche, it keeps pointing back that they had some kind of traumatic event that burned that part of the body, even though it's not there. But
But
for some reason, they're feeling that part of the body had major burns, but they can't find anything on x-rays. They can't find anything on the person's counseling records because they never were in a fire. But for some reason, that part of the body continues to feel the burn. But when they do hypnosis, they found out that they were burned at a fire during the witch trials or whatever the situation is, that it was that part of the body. So you have those weird cases that keep coming up in this type of work. And you're saying in this work as well, the energy field and the chakras of people also are imprinting memory.
Absolutely.
That has not been resolved.
Absolutely. You know,
that's why they can't see it in medicine always.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever read the books, two very powerful books for me. And it's by the same author, A Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls.
I have. Yes.
Okay. Those books really helped me a lot. They really, really helped me a lot. And I know that he speaks of that a couple, because they're all case studies of people that he interviewed under hypnosis. And yes, people would have certain kind of ailments or pains that were the result of what they had brought from a previous life into this life. So there's a connection there, because we're not these isolated beings that come one time and that we come with this clean slate and then we have to learn everything in one lifetime and that's the end of it. You know, that never made any sense to me. But
Well, the energy research, it doesn't support a one experience life.
Yes.
Anyways, so, but yeah, that's really fascinating, because then it really kind of gets into like, so let's say somebody comes into this modality and like, I don't care how many lifetimes I had before, I really wanted to get this issue in my psyche or my body addressed, because they've looked at it and I can't find anything, but I keep feeling this pain. So I just want it gone. I want it addressed.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes to you, they do the same process and you will measure their energy field through the charting system of the voice, mm-hmm. and it will still say what areas that they're missing.
Yes.
And it will point to the specific part of their body, their mm-hmm. physical body, the organ that is missing that energy.
The energy, yes.
Yeah. So even if they don't have an x-ray that shows physical evidence, mm-hmm. that they have an issue with, let's say the kidney, for example, it will still show low energy because maybe in a past life or some other experience in their psyche, that part did have issue.
Yeah, you know, that's the kind of thing, once again, as I said before, I'm not an expert in that area. All I can do is work with that person based on what is before us. But one thing that I would say, which I always thought was very interesting, because there's this practice called family constellation, family inherited trauma. And then there's this notion that not only is a person carrying something from previous generations, not necessarily that they themselves experienced, but their ancestors of this life. And then all of a sudden, they have to deal with that. But then we are born into this experience with certain lessons that we have to learn. So it's a combination of those two things, of what we've inherited from this lineage of ethnicity or whatever, lack of a better word. And then at the same time, we come to this life with certain things that we have to resolve, that we have to learn, that we have to get better at, we have to practice, and so on.
You know, going down the rabbit hole, trying to find one issue over another issue over another issue, is there a simplified way that we can just address all the traumas all at once?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. You know, I really don't. I know there's, I've heard that people claim to be able to do that. And, you know, I'm not the one.
You know, but I'm just kind of curious. There's another, there's rounds in the medical circuits where they, and you can look this up on YouTube, where they're doing lecture series on sound frequencies and healing with sound, where they'll take like 432, which is the common hertz frequency, which is actually scientifically proven as the frequency of the human body is 432 hertz. But anyways, but they'll take these different frequencies and they will address certain things. And so they're starting research where they'll play certain frequencies to cancer patients, or to, you know, whatever patients of this and that.
There are universities that are doing, they're breaking up cells, they're breaking up cancer cells.
Exactly. So like, how does this play into that kind of research where they are addressing certain ailments with specific frequencies?
Well, this is a very interesting question, because what I have is I have an extensive database that has different frequencies for everything, including amino acids, vitamins, minerals, medications. And what you need to be very, very careful about is not to assign the wrong frequency, because there are frequencies for arsenic. And so you don't want to have a person who give them a frequency and then they start having seizures, you know, so you have to, you have to be very, very careful with these things. But
oh, that gets into like Mission Impossible or something. Something feels I could just see, you know, some futuristic sci-fi movie about like killing of sound.
You know, one thing I want to say about the 432, I'm glad that you brought that up, because going back to the keyboard, piano keyboard that we use these days, that's based on what we call tempered tuning. And it was during the 16th, 1700s, Johann Sebastian Bach was the one who came up with the system that we could have 12 keys and we could play a song in all these different 12 keys. 440 was actually decided, some people feel that it was a political decision, because our tuning system is based on 440 hertz instead of 432. And this is why you're hearing people who are saying more and more, it should be 432 and not 440. Now, here's the tricky thing. Remember, going back earlier, I said that there is a difference between pitch and frequency. 432 is a frequency, 440 is a frequency. However, guess what? 432 and 440 are considered to be the pitch A. You see? So even though they are the same pitch, they're the different frequency. And if you listen to like a tone generator, it's very, very minute, that small difference between like a 432 hertz and 440 hertz. And so this is where, once again, you have to be very, very careful, because you could say the pitch is A, but at the same time, are you using 440, or are you using 432, or maybe you're using 438. You know, there's all these frequencies in between 432 and 440.
Right.
So this is where it gets really deep beyond pitch. So you have pitch, frequency. That's why we have sound and music.
Now, right. You know, on your website, you have toning CD series on your website.
That's a part of the what when we balance those two lowest frequencies.
Okay. So if somebody, let's say somebody has depression and they're coming to your website or they're coming into this modality, is there something that you like would prescribe to them? Like, listen to this track, this will help with depression
Once again, the most important thing to do before, and I say this and I say it over and over again, before I assign any protocols, I need to know what I'm working with.
Right. You don't want to give them the wrong frequency.
I do not want to do that. That's why the assessment tool is very key. Before I do anything, here's the assessment. This is what the assessment shows. Okay, now we can go about doing what we need to do. Now, right. Specifically when it comes to the toning series, that is, once again, the two lowest frequencies, let's say, for instance, they are C sharp and A. So those are the two lowest frequencies. And I find that there's a one of the high frequencies corresponds to one of those, then I'm definitely going to make that one of the things they need to work on.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. I have another question, but go ahead and finish your thought on that.
Yeah, I was just saying that's why you need to have the whole thing in front of you. You know, this is what I'm saying when people just, like, the way that you posed that, you said, well, a person has depression, like, what am I going to do? You know, okay, so I'm going to clash some cymbals because they're depressed and this will help the live, you know, that just doesn't make sense. So I have to make sure whatever I will take into consideration what they're saying to me. And oftentimes, miraculously, I can tell what frequencies are going to be low with them before I even do it. Just through conversation, I will say, okay, well, I will tell the person, I said, I can tell you what's going to happen. Most likely, you're going to have this frequency.
You've been doing this too long. You've been doing this too long. You can basically assess whether, but sometimes they assess them before they actually start talking. But, you know, the thing is that I started thinking about this and I started thinking about applications for education. Uh-huh. Okay. What's the probability of music education in schools incorporating sound frequencies, healing, and medicine into our curriculum in the near future, where students can learn music and they can learn music medicine?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, Globe Institute actually has a research center and they've been doing this kind of thing with schools.
Tell everybody that again for the kids who want to make some decent money in music and heal people.
Yeah, you know, there are these programs like Globe Institute is the program in the United States. I know there's the College of Sound Healing, I think it's in Great Britain. But these are like the main schools, and then you learn a wide variety of practices and how to use music and sound. And realize that there's so many different aspects. There's the listening part, you know, the sound and light. There's toning and chanting. There are different instruments that you can use. There are, you know, nature sounds that you can listen to. These mm-hmm. binaural beats, which can entrain your brain waves. I mean, there's so many different things that are in this field, as opposed to music therapy, which just basically says, okay, these are things, and if you use motor skills or if you can instill some happiness and joy through playing music or whatever, this will help people in surgery or different procedures, whatever.
Right,
so that's
right.
The difference between music therapy and this, which deals with specific frequency types and utilizing everything from frequencies on the body or in the nervous system through listening.
Right. I just think, like, I know when I was growing up, like, acupuncture, being a dietitian or a fitness trainer, those are kind of like, you know, medicine didn't really cover that. Your HSA or insurance didn't cover that because they didn't really recognize it. But there was a big initiative with many doctors, many Eastern doctors that were making you, no, this is very important. Good diet, good fitness training, physical therapy, acupuncture, and now it's accepted. And this, I think this will also, as we learn and get more information to choke the medical system about it, that it will probably incorporate into that. So if anybody is into music, but they also want to get into medicine, this light and sound therapy will probably likely be an aspect of our current medical practice. Very, very soon. And if you want to get into learning and being in the pioneers of that kind of research, the Global Institute of Sound and Consciousness and Applied Music Theory for Healing. You guys need a shorter name for your school. That's a long...
people usually just call it Globe Institute, and you know...
Yeah, the Globe Institute. Globe Institute of Sound and Consciousness and Applied Music Theory for Healing. Whew!
And by the way, that's just... The class that I teach is just one of the many classes that are taught. You know, so there's sacred geometry, there's all kinds of, you know, there's how to utilize tuning forks in a very healing type way. I mean, there are all kinds of classes, you know.
Right. And sacred geometry is learning about the structure of your own energy field.
Yes.
So, yes.
And how that's reflected in nature and how that's reflected in architecture, you know, all of these things. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you, I have like two more questions and before we close up. I'm really getting into this. I love this stuff. I'm allowed to geek out. My husband's a musician, so I'm allowed to geek out.
What does he play?
He plays bass. He plays keyboards. And he actually, you know, will map out the music for the different songs. He's an 80s cover band, so he'll map out the music.
I see.
Because many of the covers bands do not print out their music sheet.
Okay, so he arranges.
Yeah, so he would listen and map out. But anyway, so I'm used to it. But I love the geek out factor that goes into how this helps in medicine, and that this goes into aura field or mandalas or murkabas, whatever you want to call it, and how it helps tune the chakra systems, because people think the chakra systems are just like this linear thing because they're so familiar with the 2D chart, but the chakra systems is a full body bubble.
It's like an egg.
Yeah. And the energy field of the chakras move around.
Yes.
It's like we were talking earlier. Now, what I wanted to know is, you know, how can people use this to get into the high gamma brainwave frequencies so they can connect to their higher selves and kind of connect to much healthier states of existence?
There are some really, and this is where the technology is really wonderful, that, you know, it was actually pioneered originally by the Monroe Institute, and you might have heard of the Gateway Experience, and Robert Monroe was his name, and he came up with this practice that we now know as binaural beats. And binaural beats are basically done with headphones on, in which two frequencies that are slightly different are sounded in each one of the ears. Now, what results is what's called hemispheric synchronization, where we synchronize the brain, the left and the right brain. And depending on how close those pitches are apart from one another, they will create a third pitch. That's what binaural beats is. You have two very close frequencies that then create a third frequency. That third frequency is what entrains the brain to the various brainwave states. And that's done. People like Tom Kenyon, people can look him up. Tom Kenyon has done some wonderful CDs that people can use for entraining different brainwave states. In fact, the sound light machines also are very much a part of that, because there's another element, because they stimulate the light from the optic nerves in your eyes, along with sounds that correspond to those lights. Of course, a person who is, in fact, has tendencies to have seizures, should not use anything like that at all.
Right, right.
That could be, once again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier, you'll cause harm if you're trying to play around with things that are not for everybody.
Right.
So that's basically the binaural beats are the ones that are really very, very powerful. There's all kinds of programs out there. Not all are as good as those that I mentioned. So there are sound light machines, the Proteus is one of them, the photononics, I think.
Well, most of the modern medicine and modern technology is incorporating sound and light
into
it, because that's what people are. People are basically embodiment of light.
That's exactly right.
That's all we are. Is we're just walking beams of light. So we really got to get over seeing each other for the exterior, because this is a fake mask. This is a fake mask.
It's called Photosonics is one of the companies. I didn't want to just throw it out there and not give people the right information. Yeah, but you're absolutely right, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. We are light beings.
We're light beings, everyone. I always say, get over your Sims. Get over your Sims. And your storylines, because you are energy and you are light. And here's even more research, because our medicine that is leveling up is going further into sound light frequencies. So while a lot of people are now kind of processing anger, trying to let go of old traumas and forgive or let go, whatever way that they want to deal with it, how can they use these frequencies, or what frequencies or music can they use to help them let go of anger and, you know, forgive old trauma so it doesn't hold them down for the rest of their life?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that goes beyond sound and music, because the most important thing that people need to do is remember, once again, everything is movement. Everything is frequency. And what people need to do at all costs, they have to do what is necessary to be happy. People must learn to be happy. And I mean, they have to hold on to that, because that vibration is so powerful and so strong that it overrides all of these other things. Now, this gets into everything that we've talked about, which is a good question, because it's listening to the music that makes you happy. It's being around the people that make you happy. It's being in nature and going for walks. It's hugging a tree. It's eating well. It's eating foods that are going to be a higher vibration. Because a lot of times, even people's diet, they're eating dead stuff. They're eating things that aggravate them, that they don't even realize the impact that that has on their state of being. So just like what you said in terms of light, we are mainly 75% approximately water. So we should eat things that are plentiful in water. We need to eat things that are prepared with loving hands. You know, we need to be kind to ourselves and one another. And as I said before, beyond the music, beyond the sign, the sounds and everything, that people have to be happy at all costs. Make it the most important thing that you do every day. That's the most important thing that we can do.
Right. I definitely agree. I mean, you know, I term happiness as the expression of living out hope.
Okay, interesting.
So, you know, because somebody who doesn't have hope is a very dangerous person.
Yeah, mainly to themselves.
Oh, yeah, definitely to themselves, because most people take it out on themselves first before they take it out on everybody else.
Right.
But yeah, comes down to the pursuit of happiness. How do you want to experience the Dharma? How do you want to experience your reality? And there's so many different ways in which we could do it. You know, Jared, I think this has been a fascinating interview. It definitely hits a lot of lights in my aura field.
It's wonderful. Oh my God, this has been great.
It's always fun. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to the advancements in medicine as they start bringing in more of the light therapy, more of the sound therapy, and the healing frequencies into modern medicine as part of our, not necessarily, not only healing of unease in our body and our psyche, but also in preventing unease in our body and our psyche as well, which is a big part that we're working towards getting to. So, you know, thank you so much for the gift of your presence.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Soundpill.net,
you know, people can find more information, and there's also a contact sheet that they can fill out to get in touch with me.
Yeah, so everybody, that's soundpill, PILL.net, and that's where you can get all of Gerard's offerings, and you can watch all his material there as well. And for those youngsters out there who are looking for ways to make a good income and lifestyle of doing what you love in music, but also you're interested in medicine, you don't have to choose between medicine and music anymore. So it's merging.
That's true.
I know a lot of people are like, I really want to go into music, I want to go into art, but I don't want to be struggling. Well, we're in the fifth dimension. You don't have to struggle. It's merging because it's all coming around.
That's true. Thank you for saying that, because that's the truth.
That is the truth. So thank you kindly, podcast listeners, for listening to another enlightening conversation. And thank you, Gerard, for this fascinating interview as well. So until next time, blessings.
Blessings.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. For more information about today's guest, please go to the show description. For more information about Vaughn's metaphysical work, please go to MerkabaChakras.com. The views expressed today are for entertainment purposes and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Don't forget to subscribe for more interviews about the fifth dimension. Until we meet again, blessings.